Sin and shame, through grace he lifted me.
Grace is
more, and then I'm going to ask guys to come and share a testimony, and our pastor's going to come and bring the word. Let us stand on our feet again, and we'll sing Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Amen. Praise God. In the Redemption Hymn Book 257, or sorry, Redemption Hymn Book Matthew, it's not 257, it's 626. I should know that off by heart. I used to know the numbers when you get reliant on the overhead. Let's sing this then, praise God. I was God. Take your seats, praise God. It's a wonderful time, isn't it? Isaac's going to come and share his testimony.
To first of all thank Brother Tommy for letting me be able to give my testimony tonight. Can we just bow in prayer before we start? Father, Lord in heaven, I just come before you and I ask you, Lord, that you'll hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord, and bless the service. Lord, if there's anyone not right with you, Lord, tonight, that you'll save them, Lord, and just, Lord, let all the glory go to you in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, as you know, my name is Isaac McKinstry, and I was born on the 24th of August 2010, and I grew up in a Christian home. And I've been coming to this congregation church all my life, and I've been going to Sunday school, and Carol's been very good because she's taught us all about God, and she's been very good to us. And I also learnt verses, and my mum and dad would have taught us verses as we grew up, and the first verse that I learnt was Romans chapter 6, verse 23. If you have your Bible tonight, could we just turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'd just like to talk a bit in that verse tonight as I give my testimony. So if we look at the first part of it, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So if you were at a job, you'd get paid for get your wages, and our wages for the things we do wrong, which is sin, is death. God's punishment is death, and we're all worthy of death. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I was born a sinner, and I was born worthy of death, and we all would have died apart from the Lord because He came and shed His precious blood for us so we could escape death, and. Although I'd learnt this verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, I didn't actually realise the reality of it. Although I went to church and Sunday school, I didn't think I had to be born again. I thought I was living my life good. And you might be thinking that tonight, if you're not saved, that you can get into heaven through works. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, For all of us are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So it doesn't matter what you've done, it's just filthy rags. No matter how good you've been, you can't get into heaven unless you ask the Lord to come into your heart. And I was just thinking that I could get into heaven through works, but I was wrong. And as I got older, I started to realize that doing good works was not enough, and that just going to church and Sunday school I thought was good, but it wasn't, and I started to realize that. And the Bible says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So all of us have learnt about God and heard about how we have to be born again. And I started to realise that doing my good works was not enough and that I had to get right with God. And when I realised that, I realised that I was a sinner and that I was not right and that all of us have sinned. And that I was going to go to hell if I didn't get right with God. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So that's saying that unless you get born again, you can't go to heaven. That's the only way. And I realized that if I didn't get right with God, I was going to go to hell. And when I realized that hell was a real place. And I didn't want to go to hell, but I wanted to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realized that, and I asked the Lord to come into my heart to forgive me for the wrong things I've done and to save me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And I knew that when I asked the Lord to come into my heart that He'd save me. And when I got saved, I also took the gift. If we go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God sent His Son, the gift, Jesus Christ, to come into the world, and Jesus shed His precious blood on the cross so we could have His free gift. But not everyone wants that gift tonight. People are reluctant to have it, and they don't want to be born again. And if we go back to the Old Testament, people would have made sacrifices to cover their sin, but it only covered their sin for a while. and every year they would have had to sacrifice the lamb to forgive them. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took away our sin forever. See, his blood is special. It's not the same, but it's when he shed his precious blood, his gift, he took away our sin forever. And we don't have to come back and sacrifice the lamb. But when Jesus did it, he did it once and for all so that we can come to him freely. But are you willing to come to him freely? Because if you're not, then you're going to go to hell and suffer where the heat dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's so important that we get saved, because if you're not, you're going to go to hell. And I realized that I was going to go to hell if I didn't get right with God. So that's why I got right with him. I asked him to come into my heart. And now I can say that I'm a born-again Christian, and I can come and give my testimony tonight and share with you. And I know that I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ one day. But are you ready to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for when he comes back? Because if you're not, you're going to go to hell and suffer and die. And if your families are saved and you're not, you're going to go to hell and your families will be in heaven. And it'll be an awful thing. But if you're not, because if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And you need to ask the Lord to come into your heart to forgive you. Because if you do, he'll comfort you. Whereas if you don't, the devil, he'll not help you in times of trouble if you don't get saved. He'll take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And he'll not help you in times of trouble, and he'll make your life even more miserable. But if you ask the Lord to come into your heart, he'll help you in the storm. When Peter went onto the water and walked and looked away, he started to sink. And he cried on to the Lord to save him. And Jesus just got his hand and rose him up. And they walked back to the boat together. So even when you're in the storm and you feel like you're sinking, if you're saved, the Lord can help you through the storms and he'll bless you. But if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. The Bible says now is the day of salvation and now is the accepted time. We have to ask the Lord to come into our hearts now, because it doesn't mean tomorrow or in an hour's time. It means now, because no one knows what tomorrow may bring. And the Bible says that the Lord shall not always strive with man. If you keep putting it off and off, the Lord might go away, and then who knows what might happen to you. So it's so important that we get saved and be ready for his return. Because if you get ready for his return, you'll be able to be with him in the end. But if you don't, you'll go to hell. But if you get saved, then in the end, you'll be able to go with the Lord Jesus Christ and go to heaven to be with him and praise the Lord. Let's just bow in prayer as we end. Father, Lord in heaven, I come before you and I thank you, Lord, that I was able to give my testimony, Lord, tonight of how I got saved. I ask you, Lord, if there's anyone that's not right with you, Lord, tonight, that you'll convict them and make them realize that they must be born again. Because, Lord, now is the accepted time. And, Lord, we realize that we must be born again now. I ask you, Lord, you just bless the rest of the service, Lord, tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God, tell you, I'm a screw, Isaac. The Lord bless you. It's great to hear the testimony of a young man, 12 years old, and you know, isn't the Lord good? I'm sure his mum and dad's proud of him. I'm proud of you. Praise God. I tell you, God's good. God is so good. You know, I was thinking the day I was praying for Isaac, the day I was up in the room and I was praying. You know, and I really felt that, you know, maybe if your difficult times come, that God's going to give you a secret place. And that secret place is when the trouble comes, you go alone with the Lord. And you pray to the Lord about it. And I really feel that for Isaac and every one of us. And I tell you, God's looking for a young man. He's looking for a young man that he can put his hand on. And I thank God for young men like Isaac and Elijah and these different young men that's given their testimonies. May the Lord bless them, and we need to be praying for them. That God keep them. Keep them keeping on. You know, Stephen Shelley started preaching when he was 7. He's the same age as me. He's a few months older than me, and he's still preaching. And I tell you, God's able to do it. And there was a young man at the time of Brother Branham called David. And he was seeing revival when he was about 18, 19. He saw revival. God used him that much, he saw revival, and God can do it. Wasn't there a king in the Bible? He was 12 years of age, and he was a king. And that's what God can do. The Lord bless you so much, brother. Praise God. It's so good to hear the testimony of Isaac. Sandra got saved Wednesday night. She went out to the back and got saved during the service here. I don't know what time the service. And Sister Carl came to see me on Friday night to tell me she wanted me to know the news. Sandra told her to make sure she would tell me and ask me to pray for her as well, because she's going for a driving test. She'd failed it 4 times, and the driving instructor told her she wasn't ready for it. Well, she's asked the driving instructor, she says, well, how come you put me in for it? I'm not ready for it. So she asked for prayer, and she passed it today. She passed the test. I tell you, God can change everything. One prayer. Amen. Praise God. And thank the Lord. You know, I really believe we heard from the Lord this morning. Let's just want to read a verse from, and I won't keep as long tonight because our brother Elijah said good, but I'll tell you, it's a secret place, and you know, it could be in a field, in a room, anywhere, but it's where you go to be alone with the Lord. That's the secret. And that's a hiding place when the trouble comes and the persecution comes. And when you stand for God, you'll get persecution. You're guaranteed that. But the Lord's guaranteed, as we heard this morning, he'll not leave us and he'll give us peace. Amen. Amen. And it'll bring us through all the tribulation. I just want to read one verse tonight from John 19:34. And I want to talk about the blood. The blood witness that you have eternal life. The blood witnesses back that we have eternal life. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came the right blood and water. We know that God will bless the reading of his own word tonight. When the blood and the water flowed from the body of Jesus Christ, the significance of the redemption process was established. There was a process that was followed from the Old Testament right through. It was established on the cross. This blood held the sacred power God had been training the children of Israel to recognize all along. They had something they were following, something they were doing, that God had given them all along, which was a prefigure. It was a prefigure of the real thing that was coming. It never could make them complete. As our young brother Isaac said, the Old Testament sacrifices could never make you complete. You had to re-offer every year. But there was a superior and a supreme sacrifice coming. And that was a sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. You know, I was thinking as well, it's coming in tonight, and I don't want to go from my subject, but Isaac is a very special name, because Isaac was a promised one that was coming, and Abraham waited for him for over 25 years, but he came, and all the promises of God came through Isaac. Did you know that? He was the one he told Abraham about. And the seed of the bond woman shall not be heir with the seed of the free woman. There was a division. And Isaac was the one known from the free woman, that there was that division, and there was a righteous seed come forth, praise God. This blood held the sacred power. God had been training them, if you like. 1 John 5:6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. And by what? Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And Jesus Christ came by water and by blood. And the force of God's new beginning comes to pass in your life when you recognize the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Something will happen in you, and something happened in me, and something happened in Isaac when he recognized the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how old or young you are, but when you kneel down and you pray for the Lord to cleanse you with his blood, something starts to happen. Because there's a life in the blood. There's a power in the blood. And the power of the blood, the Spirit, responds to the blood. And there's a life comes forth in you. And you're born again in the Spirit of God. And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people talk about drunkards And, you know, if they taste the drink again, what a terrible thing. And they're so worried about people that's had conditions and all these different things. But the Bible says when you're born again, you're a new creation. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Something begins to happen the moment you pray your first prayer. Do you know that? When you pray your first prayer, when you're conscious and pray your first prayer, something begins to happen and the Spirit of God begins to work, praise God. And when the blood of an animal was used here in the Old Testament, our brother Isaac mentioned that blood was applied to the altar, Leviticus 1:15. And as you kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And you know, when you, there's a principle here. There's a law and there's a principle in this Bible, even in the Old Testament. And the law and the principle of God is that they could not enter into the tabernacle without sprinkling the door or shedding the blood first. There's no entry without the shedding of blood. And there was no way to heaven without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. But 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus shed his blood and he made a way into heaven. He bridged the gulf between heaven and hell. There was a gulf fixed. There was a separation and we were separated away from God. But Jesus Christ bridged the gulf and he filled the gap that we could come to God through him. Through him. And I want to stress again tonight, he's the only way. The church is not the way. The lodge is not the way. The movement's not the way. A creed, a dogma's not the way. But only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we be saved tonight. For there's no other name. No other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. And you hear the words must. Must be saved. Our brother's been clear about it. You're on your way to hell if you're not saved. But if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. My, there's some difference. There's some difference. Praise God. And Jesus has made a way for us to go to heaven. For he is the door of heaven. He's the door of heaven. You know, I preached a sermon in Africa. In a big church in Africa. It was a midweek service. And there's still over 1,000 there in Harare. And I preached about the man who kissed the door of heaven and went straight to hell. He was known as Judas Iscariot. And the door of heaven he kissed was the Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus said, the door of heaven, he says, I am the way and the only way. By me, you may enter in and be saved. Hallelujah. Thank God for the way tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus has become the perfect willing sacrifice. And his blood is applied to us. He has become the very substance that fulfills the just demands of God. His blood has paid the price for our sins. We couldn't pay it with our works. We couldn't pay it through our programs. We couldn't pay it by money. We wouldn't be rich enough. We couldn't do it. But the Bible says it's a free gift. You don't pay for a gift. It's free. And all you have to do is take it. And the Lord says, whosoever will may come. Thank God. Thank God tonight. It's for everybody that'll come. The blood brings justification and it brings us close to God. That's how we come close to God, through the blood. We were away from God, but because of the blood, we can come close to God. As we are in need, not just for our sins to be forgiven, but for to be completely justified as a person, as an individual. The blood of Jesus Christ to depart, to renew our life, to extend that to God. We're redeemed. Not just renew it, not just extend it. But the thing is, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life. Jesus says, till as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Power to become the sons of God. Eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only way to have eternal life. Romans 3:23-25. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Propitiation means appeasing God. Christ's atonement done that. You know, the Old Testament atonement never fully appeased God. God was waiting for someone superior. God was waiting for someone better. That's why the song says, he left the glory and splendor of heaven above, and he took upon himself the form of a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ came to die for me and you. And not only did he die for us, but God on the third day raised him from the dead, and he never saw corruption. Thank God he never saw corruption. Buddha and Muhammad are in the grave tonight. The body's corrupted. The blood's congealed. The blood's dried up. It's withered away and they are dead. But death, the sting was took out of death by Christ on the cross. And Paul says in Corinthians, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For it's swallowed up at Calvary. When you're really saved and born again, you have eternal life. That means you can never die. The physical body could die, but you have a soul that shall not die, a soul that's precious in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. There's going to be a collection. We're going to be taken. We're going to go to be with the Lord. These vile bodies are going to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be changed, and we're going to go to be with the Lord. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us that. Thank God for that tonight. The blood not only has power to justify us, but it calls us and draws us closer to him. Brings us closer to him. Because you see, Jesus says that when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. We know he told them that in the Old Testament. But you see, the devil wants to tell us we can't come to God because we have sin. But the blood removes sin. The blood annihilates sin. The sins of thy youth shall I remember no more. They're cast away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. That means I can come to God. That means I have open access. I have a high priest tonight in the heavens who's touched by the feeling of my infirmities. And I have open access to him. And he's only a prayer away. And I can pray to him, and I know that his ear's not heavy, and I know that his arm's not shortened, but he can see, but he can hear, and he can heal, and he can deliver, because he's Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever, praise God. The power is to resist sin and to flee from the bondage of sin, but we can do that because of the blood. Ephesians 2:12-13, that at that time you were without Christ, and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the church, by the movement, by the pastor, by the elder, by the general overseer, by the Pope of Rome, by the priest round the corner. You don't read that. You don't read that anywhere, any of those things. But you read, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're made nigh. You're made nigh because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ you're saved and you're made nigh. You can come into God's presence. You can have communion with the Father because Jesus Christ has made the way for you. Hallelujah. He is the real one and only mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Thank God for him tonight. These scriptures show us that when we receive righteousness and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're testifying of the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. Here's what we're saying. Mark these three statements down tonight. Three statements we're saying. We're righteous because he's righteous. Why? Because of Romans 4. What's Romans 4, Pastor? Romans 4 is the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For the Lord says, I don't impute to you your sin. That means I don't hold it against you. But he says, I impute to you my righteousness. My righteousness. His righteousness exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. His righteousness exceeded the righteousness of all the prophets and all that went before. His righteousness exceeded all. For he is the sinless, the spotless, the blameless, the harmless Lamb of God without sin. Praise God, we're working with his righteousness. Here's what we're saying. We're made holy because he's holy. The Lord's holy. And when we're clean by his blood, we're holy. We are the real saints. We don't need to pray over some tombstone or some grave. But Paul wrote to the saints. Timothy wrote to the saints. Living saints. You're a saint tonight if you're washed in the blood of Jesus. And you're holy. You're holy because he's holy. They used to mock and say holy rollers, but they were holy because the Lord made them holy because he was holy. Here's another thing we're saying. We're made worthy because he's worthy. We weren't worthy, but because he's worthy. We heard this morning, if he's in us, then there's something in us that's greater than anything in this world. Jesus is in us. As I am in the Father, so the Father's in me, and I in you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord's with us tonight. The Lord's in us tonight. Jesus is in us. What's that mean? If Jesus is in you, everlasting life's in you. If Jesus is in you, the power of God's in you. If Jesus is in you, resurrection power's in you. Holy Ghost power's in you. Because it's all in the Lord. Hallelujah. And if he's in you tonight, you've got it. You don't need to search for it. You don't need to look for it. You have it. You have it right now. Praise God. You know, they used to sing a wee song in Zimbabwe. And that means I searched all around. I searched everywhere. I searched everywhere looking for it. But then when I got Jesus, I stopped searching. I stopped searching when I got Jesus. Because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the light. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. And when you get Jesus Christ, you're lit up. Glory to God. Lit up. Praise God. The room's bright if you're in it. For the Lord's lit you up. Praise God. I tell you, that's the Bible truth. The light's in you. Praise God. And thank God the light will expel the darkness. Never for fear of a devil or a demon. Because when you've got Jesus, he's greater than all the devils and demons. For he made everything. And every devil and demon must come subject to the name, hallelujah, that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He says, you'll cast out devils in my name. And you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Mark 16. Thank God for that name. Thank God for the name tonight. Don't you worry any longer about self-acceptance or self-esteem. Never worry about it. Praise God. All of your worth is because of his worth. All of your righteousness and holiness is due to his righteousness and due to his holiness. We're set free from performance orientation. The world and business work on performance orientation. But we don't work on performance orientation because Jesus Christ performed something that no other man could ever perform. And he performed it 2,000 years ago on the cross when death and life met and life conquered death. Hallelujah. He wears the victor's crown tonight. The bride that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. We're not working on performance orientation like some businessman or some movement, but we're working on the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's God's word. Thank God for his victory. It's my victory because I'm in him and he's in me. And if I abide in him, he'll abide in me. Praise God! And I'm abiding in him tonight, for there's nothing else worth abiding in. Thank God for it this evening. We're set free from performance orientation. Thank God for that. We're set free from the past, and we're ready for the new beginning on God. Not just a new beginning, but we're new creatures. Isaac, you're a new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus. God's plans for you. God's big things for you. Believe God. Believe God. Believe in the secret place. Believe in the hiding place of God. When difficulties come, when storms come, when trials come, there is a place in the Lord that we can go that the world knows nothing about. It's God's hiding place. The psalmist David said, I will look unto the hills when whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Thank God for that tonight. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it. And they're safe. We run into his name.
Where is God's chosen place of worship? Is it the Presbyterian? Is it the Methodist? Is it the Baptist? I'm going to tell you a secret tonight. God's chosen place is where he put his name. And he put his name in the person, the lovely person, the beautiful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his chosen place of worship. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're in God's chosen place of worship. If you're in him. And if you take him with you, then you've got somebody with you wherever you go. I don't care where you've went, but there's light if you're there because he's with you. There's light. Praise God. Thank God for the chosen place of worship. Aren't you glad for that tonight? He'll meet you over in the field. He'll meet you washing the dishes. He'll meet you driving the car. He'll meet you anywhere at all. When you mention his name, he can come on the scene. Praise God. I tell you, I never forgot the story that William Branham told of the wee boy and girl that went down in the mine shaft, down where they took the coal up, and it began to get very black and very dark. And the wee sister grabbed her brother's hand, and she was scared. And she said, "It's dark down here." And her wee brother said, "Aye, but there's a man down here that can turn on the light." And there was a man down there, and he switched the light on in the dark mine shaft. And I want to tell you tonight, there is a man that can turn on the light. He doesn't even turn it on. He is the light. It never goes out, praise God. And when you get it, you're lit up. And I tell you, the devil knows it. He knows it. And when the persecution comes, you remember God's secret, the hiding place. The hiding place is God's secret, that you run to God's hiding place. Romans 4, verse 6 and 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. He imputes him. That means he freely gives him without any works. Praise God. Abraham believed God. And it was, come on, imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God. He believed God. Isaac was coming. Even before Isaac was born, he believed it. He believed it, and Sarah was an old woman. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, but Abraham believed God. And Isaac was born. Micah knew. I'll tell you, he had a glory meeting when Isaac was born. I believe that all in my heart. Everybody believes that tonight? I tell you, he rejoiced in the Lord. What a name. What a privilege. What an inheritance with that name when Isaac was born. You know, that was the word of God coming forth. Amen. When Isaac was born. That was a fulfillment of the man that met with Abraham, which was the Lord. Amen. He met Abraham, come from the slaughter of kings, and he blessed him. And you know, there was someone in Abraham's loins that paid tithes before he was even born. Is that the Bible? That's the word of God. That's predestination the whole way. God foreknew you. He saw you ever before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in him. And it was his grace and mercy that brought you and me to true repentance and to call upon the name of the Lord. Thank God for that tonight. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Verse 7. And his sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The blood gives you grace to reign in life. It gives you grace to reign in life. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. And the blood gives you grace. The Greek word grace is charis. Listen to this. Which is often described as unmerited favor, unearned favor. That means that you've done absolutely nothing to deserve it. But because the Lord loved you, ever before you were born, the Lord loved you. And he set his sights upon you. And he loves you. Remember this. He loves you with an everlasting love. That's what he says. I have loved you with an everlasting love. God is love. And his love never changes. I tell you, the devil hates that preached. Because he wants you to think, you know, maybe God's dropped off a wee bit on you. Maybe he doesn't love you like he used to because you've made a few mistakes. I want to tell you tonight, the Lord loves you still the same as the first time. Because he never changes. God never changes his mind about his word. That's one of the greatest revelations in all of the Bible. That God never changes his mind about his word. This is the unearned favor of God. This favor was poured out for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ shed his blood, God was showing to you and me his favor. We needed something to atone for us. We needed redemption. And that redemption was through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And what's it say about him? As of a lamb without spot. And without blemish. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. Through the free gift of his grace and righteousness, we were reigning life. Through his blood, we can be overcomers. And all things that come against us, we can overcome them because of him. We can overcome them. We can overcome everything because of him. Jesus overcame in the flesh. Amen. And he had all the gifts and all the powers. You know, he could have called 10,000 angels. Billy Sunday said it lovely. He said when he was on the cross, just a movement of an eye or a wink or anything at all, 10,000 angels would have came and took him off the cross. But he stayed on the cross because he loved us. But I tell you, that power is available because of what he done for us. That power of God's available. And we overcome the devil. The Bible tells us how. How do you do it? Revelations. Through the word of your testimony. And the blood of the Lamb. There you are. Boy, the devil hates that, doesn't he? You're overcoming by the word of your testimony. When you get up and tell how you get saved, that's your testimony. And because of that testimony and the blood of Jesus Christ, you overcome the devil. Aren't you glad for that tonight? That you're an overcomer. You say, brother, sister, yes, you're an overcomer. Hallelujah. And overcomers never walk backwards. They never take the long way around. They just go straight up and over. And the crisis is beneath them on the ground. Thank God you're standing on the problems. Amen. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you know, Jesus gave us what to do. It's written. You're not saved because you feel saved. You're not saved because you look saved. You're not saved because you act saved or somebody tells you you're saved. You are saved because the Bible says in Romans that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel says the same thing. The book of Acts says the same thing. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God cannot break his word, and he doesn't. And you know, a brother Gary said a great thing to me one day. He says, you know, he's as well saved now. He was as well saved then as he is now. Once you're saved, you're saved. You're always saved. Amen. You know, we're not the Methodists tonight. We don't believe the Lord saves you one week and loses you the next week. And I make no apologies for that. And if there's a non-Methodist listening in, well, you may get a new revelation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible says, none have I lost that thou hast given me. I thank you, Father, that none have I lost that thou hast given me. Thank God for tonight. Romans 5, verse 17, for if by one man's death reign by one, much more they receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Through the same grace, we're equipped with everything that we need to be generous and fruitful, to take the gospel to the ends of earth. We are equipped. We're equipped. You know, Brother John preached the truth this morning. The devil wants to tell you you're not equipped. He wants to tell you you're not able to do it. But the Lord says you're equipped and you're able. You're ready, ready. What are you waiting on? You're ready now. Amen. Brother, I don't feel ready. Well, the Bible says you're ready. You think of the man the Lord choosing, Peter. I'll tell you what, I guarantee you the elders and all the rest of them didn't think Peter was ready, but the Lord said, that's my man. He's a man. God used Peter. In spite of Peter's fields and failures and all them things, the Lord used him. Through the grace, we're equipped. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, and I'm closing in a moment. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound till every good work. How? Because the Lord's going to give you the grace to do it. Brother, I don't know how I'm going to go through this month. Well, he says here in 2 Corinthians 9:8, all grace is going to abound toward you. Now, remember what I said about grace. It's God's unmerited favor. God is going to give you all the favor you need, all the help you need, all the blessing, even if it's financial. I believe God can do it. Even if it's physical, God can do it. God is unlimited. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All grace, all sufficiency is in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. Praise God, trust in the Lord. Grace also gives us provision in every area of our lives. with the struggles of cyst, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find help, to find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16. You can find grace to help in the time of need. Praise God. Grace is freely given to you by God through the sacrifice of his lovely Son, whose blood was shed for your sins and my sins on the cross. God is always present in your time of need. He's always present. He says, call upon me in the time of trouble and I'll deliver you. And thou shalt glorify me. And then it says in another place, to show you great things. God's phone number, 5015, Psalms 50, verse 15. Never be timid about going to him when times are tough. Never be timid. Go to the Lord. You need the secret place. Get alone with the Lord. So many times we tell so many people about different things, but we need to have a secret place. That's a secret. Whether it could be at your work, you can talk to the Lord when you're away working, washing the dishes, driving your car, don't crash it, watch and pray. Amen. You know, I know a brother one time and he was praying, he got so carried away, he didn't know how he got home. That's the truth. He didn't even know how he got home. He got carried away praying. You know, one of the times Brother Brian was here, do you remember he told the experience when he was driving the car? And he had a real experience while he was driving the car. God can do it. God can do it. Isn't it wonderful when you're away by yourself and you start to seek the Lord and then all of a sudden his presence comes? How many's ever had that? Isn't it wonderful? The presence of the Lord just fills you. The presence of the Lord just comes on you and you might weep, you might cry. You might do a lot of things and the eagle always cries. Amen. When the eagle got on the rock and he looks up and he screams and he cries to the Lord. And the Bible says if we cry unto the Lord, he'll hear us. Thank God he'll hear us. The Bible says there's a time for weeping. There's a time for rejoicing. There's a time for sowing. There's a time for everything. But there's also a time to rejoice. And I tell you, you know, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. God wants to give you a real dose of joy. Who wants joy tonight? Praise God. The joy of the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. Look, I want you to pray for Isaac. I feel the Lord something for him. I believe that with all my heart. I really believe that. Isn't it great to see young men that want to serve the Lord? It's great to see it. Let's come to our feet tonight. Let's come before the Lord. Praise God. And if there's a person in this room, with every head bowed, every eye closed, someone listening in maybe tonight has heard young Isaac's testimony. Someone maybe in this room and you're not saved. You're away from the Lord. Will you lift your hand to the Lord just so we can pray for you? It won't save you, but if you pray and ask, the Lord will save you. But we'll pray for you tonight. If you're a believer tonight and you need help in an area of your life, a need or anything, lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's believe God tonight. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God is real. God is real. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your lovely presence. We thank you that when we've got you, we've got eternal life. We bless you that you are the light of the world. And him that cometh unto me shall no longer walk in darkness. We bless you tonight. Lord, when we invite you to come into our heart, that you will come in. We thank you for saving Isaac. God, I pray you'll keep him. Pray you'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. God, I pray you'll mightily use him and visit him in the name of Jesus. I ask you for the hands raised in this room tonight. You know every need, in every situation. Lord, you even know the things that's been prayed in secret. Lord, I'm looking at you to do certain things. Others are as well. Father, will you answer prayer? Will you meet every need? We're asking it as we bring it before you tonight. In the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the service this morning. We thank you for the word in season. We thank you for the service tonight. We thank you most of all for the lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless everyone in this room. Part of your blessing that maketh rich and out of no sorrows. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless everyone. And Brother Gary's going to come just to say that Before this summer's out, I want to have a baptismal service. There's a few people that were baptized. And we want to try and find somewhere. Any of these brothers know somewhere would do for a baptismal service. Let us know, and maybe some Saturday, when the weather's good, we'll have a baptismal service. Praise God. And, well, Jordy knows somewhere. Maybe it'll do. I think where I'm moving, there's a river down behind it. But we're going to have a baptismal service. We're going to, those that's going to enter in is going to take the name.
Amen.
Amen. And you're going to identify with his death and with his resurrection life. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. The Lord bless each one as your brother Gary comes. We'll be here on Wednesday night, 7:30. Maybe Sam will preach Samuel one of the services next week. He can tell me which one suits. And the Lord bless each one.
Amen. Praise God. Now we will sing that hymn. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart.